Morning. I just felt while Sherman was just when they were doing the prayer announcement, just to maybe launch into the Word. There's always a David Paulson way of doing things: preach the Word first, then worship afterwards. I'm not quite sure where this message is going to go this morning. I just feel something in my heart for us as a congregation and what God's saying to us in this time. And I'll just give some quick feedback, and which builds into what I want to speak on this morning. Jenny and I have just got back from Richards Bay and Pongola. The church is there, strengthening and encouraging them. As the Word says, we ordained an elder in Richards Bay, a new eldership couple there. And just to see what people are doing and what's happening in the different churches is always so encouraging and enthralling, seeing what the Lord's doing and the different, yet so much the same hearts and how God is working. But just to realize that how desperate we are in terms of workers, of what we need people out there. I am overwhelmed right now with requests to come to different churches. I can wake up in the morning, I'll get messages from Kitmansoor, Bloemfontein, Hoedspruit, all over, just guys wanting help, you know. And we've got to raise up people more and more, just realize that the harvest is ripe, but the workers are few. And we need workers. We need everyone to put their hand up and say, Lord, use me. And that will take a reprioritization of our lives, of our hearts. Everything would line up and almost like to be a desperation for God to use us in this time. You know, look at Richards Bay Church. It's led by Gerrit Lewitz. And he ran our coffee shop in Sunningdale for many years, in Josh Jen for 12 years. Felt the Lord taking him to Richards Bay. He opened up a kawai that John Berry started 20-something years ago in South Africa. He opened up a kawai, franchise. And he's been going up there about 3 years, is that right? And he tried to find a church that he felt was living biblical standard values that he had experienced in his life. And when he went there, he went to so many churches and he felt he couldn't find one. And then he phoned back to Cape Town, asked us, Andrew Selly, what should he do? Andrew said, well, see if you can gather some people and see what the Lord does. So he did. And the church, it took off. And he's just busy selling the franchise right now as we speak. It's just he's handing it over to another person. He's run a business and led a church now for nearly 2 years. And in that, they've planted into Umtunzini, which is just 50 kilometers south of Richards Bay. And he went to his church and he said they got about 80 adults, I think, members, and about 100 people on a Sunday. And he said to the guys, I need people to commit to help us to get Umtunzini Church going. It's going to be an evening church. Who will commit? Half the people put their hands up and said, we will travel 50 Ks every Sunday night after going to church Sunday morning, just to help that church get birthed and see it take off and grow. These are business people, got kids, jobs, families. But there's just a hunger. That church is hungry. They are passionate for what God is doing. And they just want so much to be involved with what the Lord is doing. And this morning, I just felt a word for us as Durbanville. And it's going to be based on Scripture. In Matthew, the Beatitudes, you must have heard of the Beatitudes in Matthew 5, and I'd love to preach on all the Beatitudes one day. But there's one scripture that I hope you've got them already now, Brent. Matthew 5, verse 6 says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. And there's a hungering and a thirsting. You know, so often people come and stand up and say, God bless me with a new car. God bless me with a job. And I think sometimes we get a misunderstanding of what blessing really is and to be blessed really is. Just read the Beatitudes in Matthew 5, and it's such a different view of blessing as we would understand blessing. We would normally understand blessing as when we get something, like something often material. You know, God's blessed me with a house. God's blessed me with a car. Blessed me with a job, etc. But there's a blessedness that comes from a different understanding. God's so different to us. He thinks differently to us. His ways are different to our ways. And I'm really this morning hoping there'll be an awakening in us and a desire and a hunger and a thirst for righteousness. And if we don't have it, there's only one way to get it. That's to repent. Say, Lord, I haven't got it. I don't know where I've gone wrong. I don't know where I've deviated or left and missed out on your heart and where you're going and got so caught up in my life and where I'm going. And God says, I believe God's an hour that God's calling us back as a congregation to line up on God and are hungering and are thirsting for Him. If I was to call you guys up here right now, one by one, and say, what's going to happen at 12 o'clock? Are you going to be hungry for food? You probably will be. Somebody's going to want lunch. Like the kids are going to want lunch. Feed us. We're hungry now. We're thirsty now. We want, give us. And I really believe that the Lord's giving us a picture, an understanding of what He wants us in the spiritual dimension to be this morning. But if you've lost it, if you're numb, because Christians get numb, they just don't. This type of word even can go straight over your heads. Can go straight over your heads, right out the door. Whop, gone. And yeah, I'm okay. What's the big fuss, man? I'm doing all right. This guy's getting all worked up about nothing. But I really believe that God's speaking to us this morning. I really believe it. And I believe that in some ways it's a bit of an admonition, a correction. Colossians 1, 28-29 says, correct, teach, and rebuke with all authority. That's also part of Timothy 1. And I really believe that there's an authority this morning to bring the word of God to correct us, to bring us back onto alignment on God. There are some here who are seriously hungry and thirsty for Him. There are. But we've got to go forward together. I've mentioned this over and over. We've got to go forward together. 10% of us, 20% of us can't go forward, and the rest just watch and say, hey, well done. Go for it, you know. I'm cheering on the sidelines. I believe this is us moment where God's calling us. My expectation is we'll take these 3 nights of prayer seriously. Not like, I'll think about it. No. You know, this is probably a Hebrews 13, 17 moment. Obey your leaders. In 1 Peter 5, so I keep watch over your souls. I've got to present you. Colossians 1 says, I've got to present you to God. Perfect. And I want you to, I'm saying right now, if you're not taking this prayer time seriously, I'd rather you go find another church. Seriously. You're not serious about God. You're playing games. Sorry, I really didn't expect to go down this road. I'm just feeling the Spirit of God leading me right now to bring us back onto alignment on God. Not on Joshua generation. Forget Joshua generation. 4:12, whatever. This is onto God. That we'd be a people that's burning for Him, man. Burning for Him. Hungry for Him. If you're not hungry, if you're satisfied with the crumbs that you're probably experiencing, the crumbs, you need to repent. Lord, this can't be right. Because you said we should hunger and thirst after righteousness. There should be such a burning desire in us. God, I want to see you move. This is the way the Lord's been speaking to us over the last few weeks. Since I recently believe Jonathan was here about a month ago. An awakening of God. I really want to serve you. I really want to serve you, Lord. I really want my life to count. I've got one life to live, Lord. I want to live it for you. I want to serve you with everything that I've got. Let the word of God speak this morning. That's all I ask. Can we go to Matthew 5, 13 and 14? You are the salt of the earth. That's us. We're the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled by men. You are the lights of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. And I believe this is a time in prayer where, as we come before the Lord over the next 3 nights, that we're really going to say, God, I want to be salty again. If I've lost my saltiness, if I appear in the workplace and people ignore me, there's something wrong, man. You should be known that you salt. You should be known that you light. People should be irritated by you. Not that you set out to be irritating. You must be good. You must speak well. But the very fact that your life is burning for God and people see your priorities for the Lord Jesus, that's saltiness. That's saltiness. That's light. They see the way you live your lives. They see your burning desire to serve Jesus. Your single-heartedness, your mind is so on Jesus. You know what I've seen creeping into us, even as a congregation, is People are making decisions based on convenience, not on truth. Not on conviction of God, but what's convenient for me? What's convenient in terms of my children? And that's never the way it's supposed to be. It's not, our lives are not based on convenience. Our lives are based on conviction of God. Where do you want me? How do you want me to live? Where do you want? Then I'll make my life fit around that. At the moment, when Christians start losing that saltiness, start losing that hunger and thirst for righteousness, they start looking to what can make my life convenient. You know, if I just do this over here, my life will be so much easier. It was never about having an easy life. Jesus didn't come down to have an easy life. He came down to bring salvation to us. The apostles who were weak before the cross and the infilling of the Holy Spirit the day of Pentecost, they were weak in their own strength. When the power of God came on them, they were transformed, prepared to die all sorts of terrible deaths for the sake of the gospel. Suddenly a conviction came on them of no longer of convenience, of what's good, what's about me. It's all about what's about him. What about you, Jesus? What will reflect, how will this life reflect you well? How will people see Jesus through my life and be impacted by that? So I really want the word of God to touch you this morning. I really want God to convict you, not me. As you know, I'm not a very good speaker. I'm not the best speaker. Paul the apostle said that of himself as well. He said, I'm not a trained speaker, but I have knowledge. I'm not a trained speaker, but I have knowledge of God. I have knowledge of his heart, of his desires for us, his people. He so desires, he watches over us as a people and say, come, my people, come to where I want to take you. Come. I want to take you to a spacious place. I want to take you to a place where you will be blessed in my presence, in the love that I have for you. Folks, don't be satisfied with crumbs. I think we're satisfied with crumbs. We think, okay, those crumbs are quite tasty. They're okay. I can get by on crumbs. I can survive. I'm okay with those crumbs. It's okay. But God says, no, there's abundance of life I want to give you. He came to give us life in abundance. And we've so mistaken and misunderstood that scripture of what that abundant life means. Abundant life means so full of God. So full of God that your life is just shining. You're called to be a light. Wherever you go, the people should be impacted by your life. Impacted. They should squirm when you're around. Because of the presence of God in you. Not you. Not you. You're nothing. But you're so full of God. And you're not even intending to be like that. But there's a conviction that will come on them through your life. We see that. I hope I'm not boasting incorrectly now. But often wherever we go, we cause problems in a good way. I'm serious. We've just been now. We've got serious situation to deal with now. But as the presence of God came on people's lives, it was just people want to change. There's people we're flying down to Cape Town to minister to them now. Serious people who I can't elaborate because I'm going to look after them. But the presence of God should convict. It should. Not you and your attitude and your smart answers and your cleverness, but the presence of God should saturate and soak us. As we're going to worship now, I really trust that you have an encounter with God. I really do. Don't just yawn your way through the worship time. Like, you know, we normally finish shop us 10. I hope we stick to the schedule today. With other things to do, you know. What time is the rugby? I don't know who's playing. I've lost touch. 12:15. There we go. I enjoy sport. I really do enjoy it. But I've trained myself. Maybe I'm not a good example for you here. Maybe I am. But I've trained my heart away from sport now. I have to. For the sake of the gospel, for the sake of the kingdom, I cannot engage in those matters. I know what I'm like. I'm a little obsessive compulsive. Whatever I do, I want to do it 100%. So if I allow myself to go down sport routes, they'll just suck me in. And I'll have to compromise my walk with the Lord. And I'm not prepared to do that. I'm not prepared to do that. Got one life to live for Jesus, and it's overs. I'm going to eternity. I'm not going to say, how many rugby games did you watch? Do you know who won there? Do you know how well that wing is? That who's the latest best player coming through? Counts for Zippo in the Lord Jesus. Really? He doesn't care. They're good. It's good. It's good stuff. Nothing wrong with it. It's not sin. But it could become sin if it grips your heart so much that it alters your behavior in terms of how you live your life and your time. Time is precious, maybe the most precious commodity that we have. We got so little time to do what God wants us to do. Consumed with the things of God. Consumed. Guys will make huge effort for rugby, but prayer time, Where's our hearts? What's got our hearts? What grips our hearts this morning? I love to read Matthew 6:25 through to verse 34. The Lord gave me this one 6:33, the beginning of my walk with Him, and I've always leant on the Scripture. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you'll eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more important than food, and the body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to his life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the lilies of the field grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will He not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? What shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. But seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. I'm going to leave the message right there. I love us to go into a time of worship now. And don't just go conventional worship, right? We're going to sing a lot of songs. Okay, we're not. We're not just going to sing a lot of songs. We're going to go before the King this morning. And we're going to allow the King to speak into our hearts. Is that all right? I don't know if the guys have got the right songs because they didn't know I was going to go down this road. Sometimes they work out the songs and sometimes but we trust in the Lord in this. But I love it as we go into a time of worship now to come in from a different angle. The angle of, Lord, I'm not hungry. I'm not thirsting after your righteousness. I'm just going through life. I think I'm doing okay. But I want you to let God shine a light in your heart this morning. If you don't open your heart to Him, let Him shine that light, He can't shine it. You got to, in your spirit mind, right now this morning, just open your heart and say, Lord, here's my heart. Take my heart, God. How am I doing, Lord? Really, how am I doing? And you can block that and you can filter it. Don't filter God this morning as He shines into your heart. Don't filter Him. Let Him just come in with fullness and say, Lord, shine into my heart this morning. Am I hungry and thirsty after you? No, really, am I? Not just, yeah, I'm hungry and thirsty, the sort of mild version. You know, like Nando's, you get all different heat ranges. I'll take mild. No, I want hot. I want hot version this morning. God, come. Burn into my heart, your heart. Let what breaks your heart break mine. Because I believe this, as a people, God is waiting for us to rise up. I really believe it. I believe there's a rising up that's going to come over God's people for the sake of the cities, for the sake of the nations. I believe much is going to go from this place. Much is going to come from this place of going into the kingdom, going to the world and touching lives. But it starts here. It starts in our hearts. It starts today. Lord, take all of me. Take all of my heart. I'm hungry this morning, God. I'm thirsting for you. Not the mild version, the real version, Lord. And if I'm not, I repent, God, that I'm so hard of heart, I don't even care really whether I'm hungry or thirsty. Some of you may be thinking, let's just get this over with, man. I want to go home. What's the rugby? I want to have food. Man, this could be a key moment in your life. This could be a key moment of drawing you into God's purposes and plans. I believe God's got many plans and purposes of your life, and some of you can't even see it because you're not hungry or thirsty for what He wants. There's many, many people here God wants to raise up and use. Many. Most of you will remain in the workplace, but you'll move out from that and do more. Gerard Claassen this weekend has gone up to help Mac in Mossel Bay with the Soul Care course, I think it is. He's a lawyer, but man, I want to go and serve God and go and be with what God's doing, you know. There's going to be a going from this place of people going for the right reasons, not the wrong reasons, not for convenience, but have a conviction that God wants you to go. Not to say my life will be better over there. Don't shift unless God says shift. Really. We shift too early sometimes, I think. But I really would love to see people go. It's like I'm giving you like a double paradox here. I want you to stay, but I want you to go. That's God's heart. Only go. If you go, you'll go in the power of God, the strength of God, and you'll be effective in God. Effective in His hand. Let's stand and let's come into a place of presenting our hearts, presenting ourselves to Him, for Him to use us.